At every season, the walk of the believer is an important thing. During the holiday season, it doesn't change. It's still an important testimony that every believer has. The walk is how you live. It's your testimony of life for Christ in the face of adversity sometimes, in the face of a hostile audience sometimes, but always in the presence of God. In Romans 6:4, we have an important truth that Paul sets before us. The Scripture systematically uses the image of walking to convey the picture of the biblical life lived in the sight of God. In Romans 6:4, Paul says, "Therefore we are buried with him," with Christ, "by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Here is the first prerequisite for all Christian testimony. There's got to be new life within. A person who is dead in sin has no testimony for God. A person who is lost can only advertise that fact by whatever he says. But a person who has been born again, who knows what the cleansing power of the blood of Christ really is, that person has a testimony for Christ. And so, as believers, Paul is exhorting us here that we should walk in newness of life. And that's a reminder that for all of us, we've had an old life. We've had a life that we lived selfishly, without concern for God. But now, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are His children. Now we have trust in Christ and the hope of a home in heaven because of Him. And consequently, there should be newness of life manifested in all of us. The old ways should be gone. The old habits should be killed and buried. The new life should manifest a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, a dedication to Him. Our life now should focus upon the Scriptures and what they say concerning our testimony for Christ. Before we were saved, we didn't care what the Bible said. It was just another book. But faith in Christ and the transforming power of His grace changes all that, so that now the Bible is not just an old book. It is our book. It is the marching orders for a new life for Christ. It is the instrument by which we are grounded and strengthened in our faith, and by which we live to the glory of Christ. Now, there are a number of images in Scripture that portray this walk of the believer for us, and I'd like us to go through some of those. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, that tells us that our life is very different. When we were lost, we tried to pick our own way. We tried to see what was the most profitable for ourselves. But now, we're thinking in terms of what is God's will? What does He desire for us? And we're walking by faith, not by sight. The world looks at personal profit. How can I gain from this? How can I make money out of this? How can I have fun doing this? That's the limit of their perceptions. But we are looking way beyond that. We're looking to serving God. And so we have to look with the eyes of faith, because we don't see the pathway just with our physical eyes. We see the pathway spiritually as we recognize in God's holy word what His will is for us and how we can best achieve this to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 8, he goes on to say, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now that tells us that our hopes are not just in this world. Our hopes are not just for financial gain and prosperity here. Our hopes extend to all eternity. And so we are looking at these things by faith. And our faith is that He is guiding our steps, that He is directing our pathway, and we are prepared to leave this realm and be absent from this physical body because we know when that happens, we are present with the Lord. And it's His purpose that is important. It's His pathway that we center our attention upon. And we are sure that He does not make a mistake on that. And so, when we walk by faith, it is faith in His governance, His protection, His care for His people. And so, we are walking, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We know that He is the one we trust, and we know that He is the one who is going to bring that faith to a perfect consummation in His presence, in glory. And we trust Him to do so. It is a walk that centers in Christ. We believe in Him. We're sure that He will guide us properly. We're sure that the pathway leads to His presence. It's important for us to remember we walk by faith. In chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul says, "Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know Him no more." Now, this tells us that we are walking by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one who directs our pathway. We're not governing things by the flesh, but instead what the Spirit says. Now, it's significant that in this passage, we are devoted to Him, whatever the cost. We're not living in the powers of the flesh, our own energy, our own resourcefulness. That is not what we trust in. We trust in Christ. In verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," literally a new creation. God has created within us new life, and consequently old things are passed away. All things are become new. How wonderful that Christ orders our life and enables us to live for Him. In Ephesians chapter 4, the last part of verse 1, "I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Now, the calling of the Christian is not one to earthly success or worldly pleasures. It's a much higher calling. The calling is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and to walk with Him wherever that pathway leads us. And consequently, it means in verse 2 that we walk with all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. We are considering what we can do to honor Christ, to walk in such a way that is a blessing to others, sometimes a testimony to the lost, that they might see in us reasons for seeking Christ and turning their life over to Him. Now, it's important to recognize that only the Spirit of God can accomplish this in us. We don't walk this way just because we have determination, just because we have sheer grit, you know, and can keep on. No, it's got to be done in the power of the Spirit. For in verse 4 of chapter 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Yes, that one Spirit is within our hearts when we trust in the Lord Jesus. He is there to give us guidance, to direct our pathway, to empower our service for Him. Now, that is interesting that the Lord Jesus has so supplied us with the Spirit of God that that Spirit can empower our walk and direct and guide that walk so that it counts for all eternity. We don't have to plan it. All we have to do is obey the leading that God gives in His Word and that His Spirit reinforces in our hearts and lives. The fruit of the Spirit grows in our lives. And that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of this comes from the Spirit of God within. It doesn't come from just determination, just perseverance. There's no Christian that can stand that. The pressure is too great. But the Spirit of God within makes all the difference. He empowers that walk for Christ. He imparts to us these virtues and graces that we need. We can't work them up. Only God's Spirit can supply them. And we must continue depending on the Spirit of God, allowing Him to direct our path, to empower our testimony, to accomplish through us what He intends for our lives. The walk depends entirely on the grace of the Lord Jesus and the empowerment of the indwelling Spirit of God who enables us to walk according to His will. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, Paul says, "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Walk in love. The example is the Lord Jesus Himself, a staggering example. His love manifested in His sacrifice of Himself on Calvary is a tremendous thing to hold up and say, this is love. But it is our example. The love that He asks from us is not just a saccharine sentimentality. It is a life given to the praise of God and to the benefit of others. And Christ is the example. He gave perfectly. All can know exactly what the love of God is by looking at the Lord Jesus in His life and in His death. That is the kind of love that He expects from us. Well, friends, we haven't attained that yet. We have a long way to go. The presence of the Spirit of God within us is the key. The Spirit of God calls to our attention what Christ has done for us, the love that He has manifested for us, and reminds us that as He guides and directs our steps, it is not as an orphan struggling through strange circumstances. It is a child of the King, one whose steps are guided by the Spirit of God to honor Christ, to demonstrate His love to others, to walk by the power of the Spirit of God, not by our power. That is worth nothing. But the presence of the Spirit of God within us encourages our hearts, strengthens us for the testimony, and guides our steps in the exact way that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The presence of the Spirit of God is what we need, and what we need to depend upon for our testimony and our service and our whole life. In verse 15, Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And there's a long word, circumspectly, with great caution. Now, to help you understand that word grammatically, let me give you the example of a cat. A cat in Jerusalem that I have seen directly. All the walls in Jerusalem are stone walls, and the top of them is always loaded with sharp projections. If you stop and look at the top of any stone wall in Jerusalem, it's just a forest of jagged pieces of metal, broken glass, everything else on the top of that wall, something that you would not want to reach up and grab that to try to go over the wall. That's the purpose behind it all. In Palestine, those who go over walls are enemies. They wish to prevent that, and that kind of a wall is a very good prevention. Now imagine a cat on the top of that wall, walking down the length of it, every footstep very cautiously placed. He never gets cut. He never gets scratched. Each paw is placed in exactly the right spot. He is walking circumspectly, with great caution. Friends, that's how we should be walking. Let's confess, we don't usually do that. We tend to blunder into things. We tend to just plunge into whatever is there and not count the cost or consider the method and the impact of what we are doing. But now, here is a command to walk circumspectly with great caution. It reminds us that we should never rush into anything for the Lord or for ourselves without seeking God's wisdom, without asking God's Spirit to give us guidance and wisdom and to direct our steps as He sees fit. He can certainly do that through His holy word. As we open the pages of this blessed book and ask Him for illumination and guidance, He can call to our attention passages that we need to see. He can guide us in our study of this blessed book and show us what would be the wisest thing to do, the most beneficial thing to do, the kindest, most loving thing to do. But oftentimes we just plunge ahead and don't ask. And oftentimes we're brought up short. The end result is not what we had hoped. It was a wrong pathway, and we had never asked. Friends, we have the Spirit of God within us to guide us, to lead us in the right pathway. And so we should be walking cautiously, recognizing that the walk in this world is a dangerous one. We can easily go astray. We can easily go down the wrong pathway. But the Spirit of God is with us always to guide us, to cause us to choose the right step at the right time that would honor the Lord Jesus and be a blessing and a testimony for Him. These commands are not optional, friends. They're absolute necessities. If we forget about them, we will have reason to think again of that wall with the sharp metal and the broken glass. And what happens when the believer gets out of step with the Lord? We need the guidance and wisdom of the Spirit of God. In Colossians 1:10, the Apostle Paul prays that believers would have the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Yes, we need the knowledge and wisdom that comes from the illumination of the Spirit in His Word. We desire to walk worthy of the Lord. We want to do that. But it's so easy to fail to accomplish that. Because we go too hastily or in the wrong direction, we need the Spirit of God to guide us and illuminate that pathway for us. Now, to walk worthy of the Lord, is a tremendous goal because it means that those about us will recognize that we belong to the Lord and our steps are guided by Him. And He is the one we are trying to please. That is the impression that we desire to make. We want to show others that we belong to the Lord Jesus. We can't do that by closing our eyes and rushing blindly ahead. We need instead to seek His Word and to ask the Spirit of God to illuminate our pathway, to show us the right path, to help us to be a blessing to others as we walk that pathway by His strength, with His wisdom, because that's what the Spirit gives when we're walking according to His will. It is significant that in verse 10, it says that that means being fruitful in every good work. That's what we desire, to be a fruitful believer, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, in our contacts with others, to be a blessing toward others. The Spirit of God can do that. We can't manufacture that. We can plan, we can try, we can have good intentions and see it all crumble. But when we're following what the Word says, under the guidance of God's Spirit, He can take our lives and make them a testimony for the Lord Jesus and make them a blessing to others as we cannot. The Christian life is not lived by just sheer determination. We don't have enough of that. It's lived by the grace of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God, guided by the wisdom that He imparts. That's what we need to walk humbly with the Lord Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And that verb cleanse is a present tense in the Greek, which means it's a continued action. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is constantly cleansing us from all sin. Now, friends, we need that. We're walking in the midst of a wicked world. We fail often enough and stumble often enough. We need the blessed ministry of the Spirit of God, of cleansing constantly by His grace. So if we walk in the light as He is in the light, oh my, that's a high standard. The Lord Jesus walked perfectly. You look at every page of the Gospels. Everything He did was to His Father's glory. Everything He said honored His Father. It was a marvelous testimony of a life lived to the glory of God. The Spirit of God desires to do that very thing for us. We can all confess we've come far short of that. But here's the promise. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the Spirit of God wants to illuminate that for us, that we see what the light of Christ is and have fellowship with one another. We're not just lone wolves struggling against adversaries. We're a fellowship of the redeemed. We walk with fellow saints down a pathway that we share. We have ample opportunities of being a blessing to others, of encouraging them along the pathway, strengthening them in times of need, praying for them as we should. And yes, the Spirit of God does illuminate our pathway and does help us to be a blessing to one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ constantly cleanses us from all sin. A tremendous blessing, something that we could never earn, never deserve. The ministry of the Spirit of God, cleansing us always by His grace. Now, in chapter 2 and verse 6, John says, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." He's talking about the Lord Jesus. We ought to walk as He walked, always pleasing his Father. We can all confess we have come far short of that. But this is the goal, friends. And the Spirit of God is in our hearts, not there to give us some feeling. There are some people that just want a happy, happy, happy feeling. That's all. They don't really want to live for God. They just want to feel good. But that's not the presence of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is with us that we might honor Christ by the way we live, that we might walk each day in a pathway of His choosing, walk to the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's important that we remember His goal for us is that we walk even as He walked. That is not an impossible dream. The Spirit of God is within us to accomplish that very thing. And though we fall short, it is His purpose to see to it that we do better, and that next time we depend upon Him more fully, and next time honor the Lord Jesus in a better way. Always He is with us to improve, to strengthen, to help, to empower. Friends, the walk of the believer is a very important thing for us to remember. We are not Christians because we observe a ceremony of Christmas once a year. We're Christians because we belong to Christ. He died for us. We're living for Him. And the Spirit of God is within us to empower a walk that will honor Christ and demonstrate before all we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we walk with Him in the midst of this wicked world. We are His, not the world's. The Spirit of God is with us to empower that testimony. Let's pray. O Lord, forgive us that we often give an uncertain sound in our testimony. Forgive us that we fail so often. We ask, O Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt impart to us the grace that we need to be good testimonies for the Lord Jesus, that our walk may honor Him, that our testimony may be clear to all that know us, that we are believers in the Lord Jesus, and that we desire to please Him, and that we wish to walk with Him every step of the way. Give us grace. Empower us by Thy presence, that we may please and honor the Lord Jesus Christ above all things. Help us, Holy Spirit, in this Christmas season, that we may walk with Thee. Amen.